our deacons, Brother Bobby Cheatham, who passed away. I know you'll be over at the funeral home, and then probably maybe many of you at the funeral tomorrow. Carolyn Shirley has been a tremendous, tremendous inspiration to all of us. She took care of him. She stuck by him. And we thank God. And we just thank God that he has such a great hope for him. Yes, please. That's right. I forgot Betty Kelly. That's Betty Kelly's sister. That's right. I am glad. Yes, please. Now, I like this. Okay, go ahead. Well, I will just repeat everything I've said already. Okay. Don't think my mic is on. No, it's got a yellow one on there. I love this. Do we need new batteries? I run over to Dollar General. No, he had them right here. Right here. Now it's green. Did y'all hear everything I said, or do you need? Okay. I was in a meeting over at Cordell or someplace in Georgia one time. They had the building was just a small building. Would seat of maybe 150 people. Pretty many people were there, and I was up. They gave me all this stuff here to talk. And when I got up, and my boys started bouncing from the back there. And after the services, they rushed up and said, "I don't think you're going to need this during this meeting, do you?" All right, folks. Anyway, you'll be able to hear me. Okay. I want to be a worker for the Lord. Don't say it out loud, but say it in your heart. Are you going to make a commitment to not get busy? Don't tell people to do something that you want him to do yourself. I mean, let's all of us be serious. Serious about workers. And we're working for the Lord. If you don't get any praise for it here, it's all right. God's going to give you the praise for it. All we're doing is just working for the Lord. What does it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he has faith and have not works, can faith save him? I like what Mike said in his prayer. Let's slow down. We need to slow down. We need to slow down. Look where we are. Calculate as far as what we're able to make changes in our lives. And get busy serving the Lord faithfully. And he says here, can faith save him? You might say all day long you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Prove it. That's what he's talking about. Show it. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? What good is that? What good is for a man to stand up here and preach and then not even practice what he's preaching? What good is it for a man to be called an elder and not even doing the work of an elder? What good is it for a man to be a deacon and for a man to be a teacher and then will not even show by his life that he is truly what he's claiming to be? What does it profit? Absolutely nothing. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, it's dead being alone. You can say all day long, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe in God. I believe in eternity. Prove it. Show it. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. And James says, show me thy faith without thy works. How in the world are you going to demonstrate that you really believe what you're saying if you don't put into practice those words? And I will show thee my faith by my works. I'll prove to you that I am what I claim to be, what I want you to be. Thou believest that there is one God. There is one God. You believe that? Well, thou doest well, James says. The devils also believe and they tremble. If you could be saved by faith alone, even the devils would be saved. You can't be saved by faith alone. That's what James says. Then he says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith
without works is dead. James says, how many times do I have to tell you? How many times do I have to explain to you that faith without works is useless, it's dead? You've got to prove it. Was not Abraham our father justified by works? Consider this as an example. When God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 that he was to leave his father's house, go into a land that he would show him, how does Abraham act? Does he just say, yes, I think I do believe that? No! Abraham arose and he went. When God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 22, take thy son Isaac, thy son that you love, and offer him as a sacrifice unto me. What a tremendous thing for Abraham. But Abraham was a man that believed, and he showed by his faith and his works that he was the man that God said that he was. He says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. He did what God told him to do. He didn't have to slay his son, because when he started to slay his son, God from heaven spoke. And when that angel spoke to Abraham, and when Abraham heard that, God said to Abraham, 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 now I know. Are you listening? God said, I've proven you. Now I know that thou fearest me above all. You believe me. I am God. And I know that you are what I claim, what you claim to be. By works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. I don't know about you, but my friend, let me tell you this morning, if you can be called by God to be his friend, you can't find a better compliment. But how was Abraham called the friend of God? Answer, he was called the friend of God because he showed God that he believed him and he was willing to do what God told him to do. You see then how that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. And then he repeats it again. Why? He repeats it again because he wants the people to know. Likewise, what about Rahab the harlot? She was justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way. She believed and she acted. She demonstrated, she worked. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. You know when a person dies, that spirit leaves the body. That spirit no longer is in that body. That body will not do anything on its own. Why? Because now it doesn't have the Spirit in it. It is now dead. There's so many scriptures this morning. I want you to really consider them. For example, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, don't tell me we're not supposed to be busy. Don't tell me we're not supposed to be doing the works of God, because the Bible tells us that whenever we do the work of God, then we're not doing anything other than what God wants us to do when we do the work of God. But look at Revelation 14, verse 13. I heard a voice from heaven saying, and that voice from heaven said unto me, John said, and that voice from heaven said unto me, write it down. Put it down. I want this written. Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. You're not blessed if you're not in the Lord. If you're not a Christian this morning, don't die like that. You won't be happy. You can't be happy. There's no happiness and joy for anyone outside of Jesus Christ. Yea, blessed, happy are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit. Are you listening? Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from what? From their labors. They have worked. They've worked hard. And now they can rest. And don't tell me that works is not important. Don't tell me that God does not want us to work. Because the Bible says, and their works do follow them. What was it that Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. You will be called upon to give an account. Who? You? Me? No wonder then the emphasis is placed. Their works do follow them. Now in chapter 16, verses 1 through 16, I have never done this before, I guess, in all my preaching days. There are so many hard names in this chapter, in these 16 verses, and I may have to call on Matt Burns. He's good at pronouncing it. Or maybe Jay over there. Is Al in the house? All right, maybe Al. Matt's over here in the corner. But I'm going to do what I did when I studied this particular, and I want to talk about it, because it's really important to the lesson. And it's about all these names. So I got on the computer and I listened to this. I tell you what, if you have one translation, they'll pronounce it one way. You get another translation, it's pronounced another way. So I'm going to do the best I can this morning. No, I won't call on you, brethren. Okay. Very good. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister. Commendation by whom? By the writer. Who's the writer? Paul. Who is he commending? One who is a sister in the Lord. We don't do enough of that here at O&M. I don't do, and I apologize. When somebody does good, they ought to be commended. We have so many people in before. It's hard. Because when you commend someone, you'll probably forget somebody else. However, Paul didn't. He didn't hesitate. Paul said, I want you to know, brethren, I'm writing this by inspiration of God. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed, now listen, here is a sister in the Lord. Paul is commending her. For indeed, she's been a helper of many, and of myself also, women. Here is something that God says to you. God said, here is a woman whose name was Phoebe. What was she doing? She was doing everything that a woman supposed to do. And he said, I commend her. She's been a helper of many. And even myself. What about Priscilla and Aquila? Husband and wife. I never forget one of our young preachers where I preached over Weatherly got up one Sunday. And oh, he was commending Priscilla and Aquila, two sisters. And I almost died. Did it about three or four times. I told him afterwards, no, wait a minute. That's a husband and wife. All right, Priscilla and Aquila. Now look what the Bible says. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Are you a worker for the Lord? Do you want to be a worker for the Lord? Why aren't you working harder? Look what the Bible says about Priscilla and Aquila. The Bible says, Paul said, my fellow workers in Christ, they risked their lives. They risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. He commends them. Priscilla and Aquila, greet my beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia to Christ. Now, I want you to notice something. When we talk about each one of these, notice what the Bible says about them. Greet Mary, who labored much for us. Many Marys. But whoever that was, they understood who it was. And he said, you greet her. Greet Andronicus and Julia, my countrymen, and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles who also were in Christ before me. These people were what? They were in Christ before I was, Paul said. Then he goes on, greet Amphilius, my beloved in the Lord. He's talked about my countrymen, my fellow prisoners, now labored much for me, and Andronicus and Judea, my countrymen, and now he says, greet all of these who are in God's kingdom. Who are their workers? Where? In the vineyard of the Lord. He adds to this, "Greet Amphilius, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and Stasis, my beloved. Greet Apelles, approved in Christ." Just look at all of this. "Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my countrymen. Greet those who are the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphenia and Trophosus, who have labored in the Lord. Greet the beloved Paris, who labored much in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Greet Aristarchus." And now notice what he says even in this section. "Household of the Lord, my countrymen who are serving God, who are in the Lord, who have labored in the Lord, who labored much in the Lord, chosen in the Lord." And then he adds, "Philegion, Hermas, Patras, Hermes, and the brethren who are with them. Greet Philocus and Julia, Narissus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them." Amen. God knows them. These people to whom he was writing knew them. But what was one thing outstanding about every one of them? They were workers in the vineyard of the Lord. Oh, my beloved. He then concludes, "Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you." At least 24 names in the Holy Word of God who were in the kingdom, workers of Jesus Christ. Who will do it? We got work here. A lot of work. Big congregation like this, who's going to do it? Who's going to serve as an elder, preacher, teacher, deacon? There's something for everybody. If within what God tells them to do. But who will do it? Who'll fix sick for the visit the sick? Somebody says sometimes, nobody hardly visited me when I was sick. Do you visit? Can you visit? Do you call people that are sick? Do you send a card? Fix food for those that are bereaved? Well, I love the way we've got a thing going where these various people are doing what? They're fixing food and taking care. Boy, I tell you what, whenever you lose someone, isn't it wonderful to see people doing it? But who's doing it? Are you? Just a few? If you're in a group and you don't do it, what's wrong? Why? Sing at a funeral? Boy, they sure don't ask me many times to sing at a funeral, and I don't know why, but anyway, I guess I do know why. Singing at a funeral. Being there. How about doing some personal work? How many of you have ever visited somebody to try to convert them to Jesus Christ? Does God see you busy in the kingdom of God, trying to do everything you can to teach others who are lost? You maybe have a mother, you may have a daddy, brother, sister, aunt or uncle, grandma, grandpa, who needs to be in the kingdom of God. Are you trying to do something for them? Who is a worker for the Lord? Fixing the Lord's Supper, I usually pass out there. When I go by, there'll be people back in there. Are you in that group? You got your name on there? Can they count on you? Locking up the building. Minor things. But yet so important. Who will do the work of the Lord? Who wants to be a worker for the Lord? I want to suggest to you as we were singing, I want to be a worker for the Lord. I want you to listen to those words again that we were singing together this morning. And they were, I want to be a worker for the Lord. I want to love and trust His holy word. I want to sing and pray and be busy every day. In what? In the vineyard of the Lord. I will work, I will pray in the vineyard of the Lord. In the vineyard of the Lord, I will work, I will pray, I will labor every day in the vineyard of the Lord. Are you doing that? Am I doing it? Then he goes on, I want to be a worker every day. I want to lead the erring in the way. Who I? How many people have been there have you led to Christ? I want to lead the errand in the way that leads to heaven above, where all is peace and love in the kingdom of the Lord. My daddy had a song, Sheedle, he loved for us to sing. You never mention him to me. He told me, son, tell others about Jesus. Oh, I wish you could have known my dad. I can see him reading the Word of God. I can hear his prayers. He loved God. He left this earth at age 64. But I want to tell you, he was a worker in the vineyard of the Lord. Are you working in the vineyard of the Lord? I want to lead the errand in the way that leads to heaven above, where all is peace and love in the kingdom of the Lord. I want to be a worker strong and brave. I want to trust in Jesus' power to save. All who will truly come shall find a happy home in the kingdom of the Lord. Call today before the judgment seat of Christ. Will God be able to say to you, well done? You've been doing so well in the kingdom of God. Will you be a worker for the Lord? In John 9, in verse 4, we conclude the statement made by Jesus, where Jesus said, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh. And we sung that song a little while ago. Work for the night is coming, and it is. Jesus said, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man shall work. It'll all be over. No wonder James says, be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man that beholdeth his face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and forgetteth what manner of man that he was. I am persuaded, I'm talking to people that really, really want to be workers in the kingdom of God. Maybe we get slack. Sometimes we pause. But I think, having worked with you so many years, there were people that you and I, as we take light of God's precious Word, want to do, be a worker in the kingdom of God. When my brother passed away, when I've had relatives to pass away, and I'd walk in, there'd be a flower. Friends from O'Neill Church of Christ. I tell you what, that means a lot. Not from the church's treasury, it's from friends. Every so often, we'll make an announcement. And the announcement is, the flower fund is low or something. And I don't know how many people, when they'd walk out, they'd have money put in my hand. Tommy, they did with you, they do with you. They wanted to share in that good. Do you? I hope you do. I'm sure as we have opportunity, let us do good and be busy in the kingdom of the Lord. What does it profit a man if he say he has faith and does not have works? If you're in this assembly this morning, you're not a Christian, you need to be in the kingdom of God, not out of it. There's only one way to get in there, and that is to believe and obey Jesus. Repent of your sins, confess His name, be baptized for the remission of your sins. The Bible tells us, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, for by one Spirit are you all baptized into one body. Acts 2 verse 47, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. If you're not a Christian, here is water. What does hinder you from being baptized? If you're a Christian, you have not been active. You have forsaken assemblies. You know you could have been there, but you weren't. Everybody knows that. Surely you're ready to make your life right with God. Ask God to forgive you. And let's all resolve today to be workers. And when we sing that song again, we can really say, I want to be a worker for the Lord. I'm going to trust and do God's will. Because I want to hear the Lord say to me, well, good done, good and faithful servants. Enter thou into the joys of thy Lord. I don't know how Jesus' voice will sound when he speaks. Most of us have a particular, you know when I talk, when Glenn talks. But I want to tell you something, my friend. You'll have no difficulty recognizing the sweet voice of Jesus. Tomorrow morning, we'll have part in the funeral service of one of our deacons who passed away. And I want to talk about that. He served the Lord. I'm going to tell you tomorrow morning. Bob and Carolyn attended this church for over 60-something years. He served as a deacon, I believe, Tommy, around 35 to 40 years, or something like that. He's had tough times for the last few years. He's gone. Some of you, Eddie, John, Rob, used to remember, lift him up, take him to the car, put him in the car for Carolyn. He's not coming back. What he did, God alone knows. I want you to be ready. Are you this morning? I want to be a worker for the Lord, don't you? If you're subject in any way to his invitation, let him have his way with you. Won't you obey him right now while together we